been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the second day of November already. And it is Tuesday. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager with Barry Kite.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Chartered financial analyst on board. And we'll be talking about a lot of earnings reports today. And I've also got quite a few promising young companies to talk about that maybe you haven't heard of that have been making news here recently. But let's start with what the market is doing so far. We just had a surge in the NASDAQ, and we had a surge here at Gunderson Capital Management. I didn't see that coming, but all of a sudden we've got a nice some wind behind our back. The Dow is up 27 points right now. Not much going on there. It's mostly DuPont and Cisco. The S&P is now up 12.5. That's a little surge there. It's at 46.26, and both the Dow and the S&P, I want to say, are hitting new all-time highs, as is the NASDAQ, which is now up 35 points, and the NASDAQ is at 15,627, new all-time high. The leader on the NASDAQ so far, Cisco, Intuit, and Alphabet to some extent. I'm seeing real good strength in the lithium stocks, and that move by Tesla yesterday at the end of the day is just, it's just off the charts right now on Tesla. Crude oil is down 54 cents to 83.51. Gold is down $3. Silver's down 34 cents. The 10-year yield down two basis points to 1.55. And there is an appetite for risk today. Bitcoin up 1,900. To 63,798. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. Barry, we saw new highs across the board yesterday, and that is following through into today in front of the Fed is meeting today, and they'll have their announcement tomorrow. Do you think they'll taper?
I mean, you got, my guess is they'll signal some version of tapering. You know, it's it's the old hopefully we won't get into the old taper tantrum, right? But you know, we know that they're going to take the gas pedal off at some point, and they, you know, and they likely should. But you know what level of that is? They're still going to be buying. That's, I mean, that's the one thing that people don't think about. They're still going to be buying. It's just how they're going to be buying a little bit less.
Yeah, I did see one market analyst that I respect greatly, Ed Yardini. He thinks they will start, not announce in the future, but actually start the taper tomorrow. And so that's going to be the camp I'm in right now. I think they'll announce the A taper and it will begin immediately. But we'll see, you know, and you're more a little leaning towards the side of the probably at least signal a taper. The Fed meeting starts today, and we will get the announcement tomorrow, and then the usual is the question and answer tomorrow or is it Thursday? I get mixed up now.
I think the, because of course the question and answer is one of those, you know, newer things, you know,
yes,
at least in the last 10 years, you know, within the last 5-10 years. I know the statement, I believe, comes out on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, Thursday.
He may take some questions at the end of tomorrow's session. I know it's normally a 2-day session. I mean, we're a long ways from, remember watching Greenspan carry the briefcase across the street. That was, that's how we used to do it. Now they actually talk and actually talk and take questions.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, how big is the briefcase?
Yeah, there were a couple of weak economic reports yesterday. I don't know if that will weigh into their decision, but The PMI came in at 58.4, which is lower than consensus, but anything over 50 is expansion. And the ISM manufacturing also was a little weaker than expected, but it came in at 60.8. It seems like most of the economic reports, including the terrible GDP report, the terrible jobs report recently, haven't been very good. Now, here's one thing to watch. More important than our Fed on Thursday, the Bank of England will announce their decision, and it's expected that they will be the first major central bank to hike rates. Actually, the Bank of Canada last week ended QE and pulled forward hike expectations, but it's expected that the Bank of England on Thursday will become the first big central bank to actually raise interest rates. So we'll be watching that. We haven't seen anybody raise interest rates in a long, long time. But on Thursday, expected from the Bank of England. You know, everybody's got their opinions out there. I saw an article today on Seeking Alpha. Old West Investment Management, Joseph Boscovich, who is the chairman and CIO, and I've heard this from other people. He says China's economy could face a meltdown, which would drag on global GDP for years. Well, that wouldn't be good. And he's citing kind of similar problems that we had in 08 and 09.
Right.
The Chinese banking system currently holds about $52 trillion in bank loans compared to an overall GDP for the country of just $14 trillion. And if those start to come unwound, that could be a big problem. He says China has been masking over these failed investments for years. But the situation is so severe that the Chinese Communist Party has been backed into a corner. Now, I mean, this is just one guy out there. He says the numbers are so big that this will be a drag on the world economy for years to come. Boscovich is one of many prominent investors who have become deeply skeptical of Chinese investments lately. Yeah, you have to wonder why China acted so rashly here recently in taking over and hurting their big technology companies, Alibaba, JD.com, Tencent Holdings, Baidu, etc., really crushing them, and then cracking down on this and cracking down on that. They seem to be acting very strangely. Maybe there's something we don't know. Maybe this is it. Maybe they're really worried about all of this debt going upside down. So anyways, I don't think I would be an investor in any Chinese stocks right now. But, you know, the bigger threat is that it spreads. They're a big part of, we wouldn't have much global growth were it not
right.
for China.
No, and they've been the growth engine. Of course, you know, the old adage, you know, U.S. kept, you know, when we, you know, when we have a sniffle, we sneeze, the rest of the world catches a cold, right? I don't think
yep.
I don't think China's quite there in terms of, you know, their debt crisis spreading, and like, you know, similar to what happened to Europe because of, you know, the debt issues here in 08-09 and that spilling over into the euro economy. But I do, you know, I mean, a lot of global growth. I mean, you know, I think we saw somebody was talking about it last month, and it was going to take basically a percent off of global GDP. But, you know, basically for 3% global GDP, a percent of that was China.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. They had an ominous warning, you know, today too, in terms of almost telling their people to, you know, hoard soft goods in terms of, you know, vegetables and some other things. So that was you can dive into that a little bit later, but that was, it was a little interesting in terms of, you know, basically buying or holding on to soft commodities, which means they don't want their people to freak out if they don't have any food, which creates more unrest. And that's what China's most worried
about. Yeah, that's
the
worst thing you can do is announce to people to start hoarding it.
Yeah, and
that sets off panic.
It's an odd statement, but they're
acting very strange recently. I don't quite know what's up. I do know what's up with this crazy electric EV sector. Tesla, at some point, it is not worth $1.3 trillion. At some point, how much of this is sex appeal that is built and hype and whatnot and a cult following of sorts, and it's almost become a meme stock. It is a meme stock, and it's gone way beyond what it's worth, but at the same time, it is what it is. It's hitting $11.75 today. It's added $200 billion to its market cap, which is, what, four Ford Motor Companies?
Right, it just hit a trillion. Just last week or so, right?
But we do own it. You kind of have to. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. The NASDAQ up just a mere 18 right now, but it was hard to not notice that big finish yesterday with a flourish by Tesla and other stocks like Lucid and, Li Auto and some of the Chinese ones and Fisker. And then you get into the battery and the fuel cell. The number one ranked stock in the app right now continues to be Plug Power. Blink Charging had a big day. Arrival had a big day. Canoe. Lordstown Motors. Izon Motors.
I love the story with Canoe.
Yeah, Canoe.
It used to make electric skateboards. They're like, hey, we'll use the same chassis, turn it into a car. Just make it bigger.
Fuel cell energy. Now, obviously, the ETF, you get it all in one, pretty much. You can look up what the holdings are in DRIV, D-R-I-V. D-R-I-V is the Global X Autonomous and Electric Vehicle Index. So there actually is an index now in something that did not exist 10 years ago. There was one stock in the index 10 years ago. Now there's numerous stocks in the index. And I got to suppose that Toyota's in there, Ford's in there, GM's in there. But DRIV hit a new all-time high again yesterday. And that's the way. And then I have a friend who created the global lithium index. That's having a good day too. It's actually battery technology and lithium. The symbol is LIT, L-I-T, for lithium. That's been a red hot thing. You know, she did a good job. They saw a need for an ETF. I know the people that started it. She created the index, and now there's $5.7 billion in that ETF, LIT, which is lighting up the board. And then, of course, you've got Rivian, which we talked about yesterday. I'm seeing a little update here. They're looking for $60
billion
valuation when they come public, probably by the end of the day. I'm just going to make a prediction. It'll be $100 million.
Right. Yeah.
With not one car on the road, but it'll be a $100 billion company. We're getting into some stratospheric types of, casino like action in the market here that we got to kind of be careful with. Rivian aims to be valued higher than Honda, Ferrari, and Stellantis with a $60 billion market cap. The symbol will be probably RIVN when they decide to go public. We haven't heard yet, but we do know that they plan to sell 135 million shares in a range of 57 to 62. I wish we could get some of that, but I, you know, Ameritrade is not in on those syndicates. Usually it's the big Bank of Americas and the Goldman Sachs and people like that. Morgan Stanley, you know, another area that's been pretty strong with all this climate change meetings taking place. Like I said, Plug Power is the number one ranked stock in the app once again. We made a lot of money in it last year. There's still a lot of skepticism around hydrogen fuel cells. It hasn't really become something that's really you know, useful yet, but I guess they're headed in the right direction with it. That stock's breaking out again today, Plug. And also some of the solar stocks. Sunrun, which is Run, R-U-N, had a really good day yesterday. And the TAN ETF, which is a pure solar play on those stocks. Another good day. Now, at the same time, okay, BHP, which is a big miner down in Australia, they were going to exit the coal market totally. But now, because there's such demand for coal and prices are going so high, they're thinking twice about getting out of that metallurgical coal industry. You know, and China's also been warning their people of a cold winter. And, you know, most of their power plants are fueled by coal. So at the same time, while you've got all of this green energy stuff doing well, on the other side of the fence, you've got the fossil fuels and the coal and everything doing well. New Yorkers will see a 24% hike in their winter heating bills. Why? Because of a natural gas shortage. Now, there is not a natural gas shortage. How recently were they flaring those wells over there right in Texas? Because we had a glut of natural gas. So it is a self-imposed natural gas shortage. Russia's created a natural gas shortage for Europe to get prices up and, you know, to have a little control over Europe. New Yorkers will, on average, pay $341 a month, which is a $66 increase from last winter's average. That, you know, that's a significant hike. No wonder so many people. How many New York license plates?
That's 24%, by the way. That's a 24% increase just based off.
Yeah. How many New York license plates did you see yesterday as you drove through Mount Pleasant and Charlotte? We have a lot of New York license plates in our neck of the woods. New Jersey, New York. People just getting out of there. I see de Blasio, I think I saw it. He's going to run for governor now. He's done such a good job in New York City. Wall Street banks go on a spree to hire cryptocurrency specialists. Now, that would seem that it's becoming more mainstream now, or is it the fact that they just feel like they got to get in? And, in fact, when we come back in the second half, the banking sector has been a good sector because interest rates have been trickling up and they're probably going to go higher. But there's one bank in particular that I want to feature from my hometown in San Diego, which is kind of a not only a bet on rising interest rates and banks going higher, but they also have some pretty good exposure to cryptocurrency. You know, they take cryptocurrency deposits, and you can get cryptocurrency debit cards. It's not a pure play on cryptocurrency, so, you know, you're not taking that kind of risk of it going up and down just on the price of crypto. But to me, it's one of those young companies. I've got several of them to talk about in the second half. But now you've got Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs trying to find people, cryptocurrency specialists to hire. And let's not forget Jamie Dimon recently said crypto, Bitcoin's worth zero.
Yeah, well, Aaron Rodgers taking some of his salary in Bitcoin. He's the latest to do that.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. All right, well, I got a lot of young companies to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ up 37 right now. It's got a little more lift under it. The NASDAQ up 32. Just a little few more, a little bit more on Bitcoin. ETFs that directly hold Bitcoin will likely come in mid-2022 if you can wait, if you can hold on that long. MicroStrategy CEO. Now, this to me comes under the category of famous last words. He says Bitcoin is going up forever. That's MicroStrategy CEO Michael Saylor, who obviously has been very, very bullish, putting most of his company's cash into Bitcoin. He says it is going up forever. Now, that's always, I don't like hearing that at all. Now, here's the little bank in San Diego. It's not little anymore, Silvergate. I grew up in an area out on Point Loma where Silvergate was actually, I don't know if it's the same people that ran the original Silvergate Bank, but this is headquartered in La Jolla, California. It's now a $5 billion company. It went public in 2019 at $12. You know, normally little regional banks like this, they don't go wild, right? I mean, they're very slow movers. But this has gone from $12 in 2019 to $195. And it's hitting a new all-time high today, and it's breaking out. It's had an earnings growth rate of 47% per year. Listen to their most recent quarter. Their sales were up 123%. Their earnings were up 138%. The symbol is SI, Silvergate Capital Corporation, and they are a bank down headquartered in La Jolla, which is a beautiful little community just north of San Diego. And the other one, too, that comes to mind here is SoFi Technologies, which was a much-heralded IPO. I don't know if you watched the NFL on Sunday, Barry, but the Rams Stadium.
Rams play there, yep.
Exactly, is SoFi Stadium, that brand-new stadium that they built where the old Hollywood Park racetrack was.
And is he part owner? I think the guy, I'm trying to remember if the founder or of that firm, is he part of the Rams ownership? Or I thought, for some reason I thought he was the one who wanted to build the stadium, but... You know, they're a lender. A lot, you know, they actually reminded me of when we hit Lending Club last week. You know, they kind of started out as a similar lender, but they've evolved into a much bigger platform in terms of lending to folks. You know, a lot like what's the lender who was the Cleveland Cavaliers ownership?
Yeah, lending.
I'll remember. You know, the blast off.
Lending Tree.
Yeah, one of them. It's part of them, and then it's. Right. I'll remember the other group in a second. But yeah,
yeah.
It's an interesting space. I mean, it's a.
Yeah, SoFi. they're hoping it had. Now I bought it in the emerging growth portfolio. It was actually a SPAC. And I can't pronounce the guy's name that is the CEO. He's brought about three SPACs. I believe he's from India. And I bought it in the emerging growth portfolio, but it went through kind of a funk early summertime, and it crossed below my line in the sand. Then, of course, it's come roaring back, much to my chagrin. but it's up to $22.50 now. It's $18 a share SOFI. But the hope is that this fintech may soon get regulatory approval of its bank charter. So that would be a big deal. SoFi announced in March agreement to acquire Golden Pacific Bank Corp, which is just a tiny little bank. But that would give SoFi a national bank charter, and it would allow the fintech to start accepting deposits and making loans that use SoFi member deposits. So that's pretty interesting stock. Two young ones, SI, Silvergate, and SoFi, SFOI. Now we're going to go completely in a different direction with a young company that I just discovered here today. I did not know, you know, here in South Carolina, we have a lot of kidney dialysis places. DaVita, I think, is the big one there, where people actually have to go in and get the dialysis done. It's a big chunk of time that it takes. Well, I discovered a company this morning called Outset Medical, OM, that has invented a small machine where you can do it at home. They have the Tablo Home Dialysis Treatment. And, you know, it's a matter of whether or not, you know, they'll get approval from a lot of these insurance companies. But the CEO said, we have always believed that dialyzing at home is vital to restoring identity, autonomy, and a sense of self-worth for those managing kidney disease. The CEO said that, Leslie Trigg, and that symbol is OM. And it had a pretty big day yesterday. Outset Medical. Now, I remember, I don't know if this will, you know, become a big winner or not. It's in the Silicon Valley, San Jose. But I hit, I made a lot of money in the one that came up with the pancreas that you basically wear on your...
Dexcom and Insulet. Yeah, if you put Dexcom and Insulet essentially together, you create an artificial pancreas, which is amazing for anybody in with diabetes. We did a handful of articles on them. They popped.
Yes.
Dexcom popped back pretty well a few days ago. Actually,
I know. Now it's pretty. You know, I think most of the profits as a stock have been wrung out of that thing. Dexcom. I actually had a guy in my office the other day, and I noticed. He showed me his whole thing. He had a Dexcom, and he had a Tandem Diabetes, and he had the Insulet, and he gets his insulin from Novo Nordisk, which I wrote up in my book several years ago. So he showed me how it all works. So we'll see if this Outset, OM, which is a $2.7 billion company, to me that would be a big... I see potential there.
I've done some research on dialysis along, you know, and with the diabetes. I know, I'm pretty sure that with Medicare costs, I want to say it's at least between 8 and 10% or so of Medicare costs go towards dialysis. And the problem with dialysis, right, is it essentially you're not curing anything, right? It's just you continually have to have it. And so it's a cash cow for, those companies, like you said, DaVita. I mean, look at their chart over the years. But it's a big, budget spending, area for the federal budget. And, if they can improve it, cut the cost down, do it at home, you know, it's great, better for the patient. And it's also likely, better for the cost structure of, Medicare. With spending bill, we need to save money wherever we can, right, Bill?
Yeah. Now, I don't know how much these little machines are. I'll let you dive a little deeper into it, you know, in the coming days. DaVita has 2,816 outpatient dialysis centers across America. Okay, another one that I heard Bill Miller talking about, who's a pretty well-known guy. He beat the S&P 500 for many years at Legg Mason. He was talking about a company called Desktop Medical, which is a 3D printer. And I've been watching it. It's just, it hasn't done anything. But all of a sudden, you know, that thing is perking up. This is unusual in that it's a metal, printer, 3D printer, and they're going to expand their facility and really ramp it up, and now they have the world's fastest metal 3D printing technology. And they can do all kinds of, there's all kinds of applications for that. Desktop metal is DM. It was up 24% yesterday. It's down a little bit. It's about the same as OM. It's a $2.1 billion company, but they can use that metal 3D printer for the automotive, aerospace, and, of course, the medical sector. I see a lot of these 3D printers on Amazon now. I mean, for your home, you can get all kinds of, you can make all kinds of things at home with 3D printers. And the last one I'll mention here is Global Foundries, which just went public. That's the one that actually makes semiconductors. It's had a pretty good start. It's only 4 days into its IPO. It's already $30 billion. But they are in one of the foundries now, making the chips. And, of course, we continue to have a chip shortage. Okay, then we'll look at some stocks when we come back that are looking good today here. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with the Dow up 68, a little bit more lift there. It's a lot of it is DuPont, which had a good earnings report, and Cisco, kind of one of those old stocks from yesteryear. NASDAQ's up 42 right now. The small caps are down a little bit today. Now, the stocks that stand out to me today, for me, I've been tracking this stock. I did not buy it, but it was really looking very good chart. It was moving up in rank. The earnings report of the day for me is Arista Networks, A-N-E-T, $39 billion company. Look at that. You know, this is unusual that they would beat earnings by this much, and the analysts were so far wrong. This stock's up $100 a share, or 25%.
Right.
That's a huge move. Normally, you would see a move like that if it was being bought out, you know. For it to be going up on just an earnings report and beating their earnings estimates, that's really quite a move there. For Arista Networks, which is in the cloud networking software, hardware for the internet, cloud, next data, next generation. They're in all the right places, next generation data centers. Let's see if that's having any effect on the cloud ETF. No, not really.
It's interesting because that's your classic beat and raise. I mean, they had stock market is forward looking, right? So they, you know, raised a strong outlook, and then they also announced a $1 billion buyback plan. So, you know, they're improving earnings per share from both sides, right? They're buying back shares, and their outlook going forward is great. But yeah, that's quite a 25% move for a stock. It's a mature name. It's at a market cap at $31 billion. So
yes. Now, the other cloud stock, Nutrien Fertilizer, it was up this morning, and now it's peeled back a little. It's down almost 5% since it reported earnings. But they had a good report. You'll have to dig into it a little deeper, but there must be something being said maybe in the conference call or something. Nutrien beats by 15 cents. They beat on revenue, and they raised guidance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everything you want to hear.
Right.
And yet the stock is down. Maybe they wanted to hear something even better than what they are hearing. That's kind of the case sometimes. But I'm certainly not too worried about the nutrient fertilizer. When you've got China saying to hoard vegetables, you can't really hoard vegetables unless you're going to can them, put them up, or freeze or dehydrate them. You know, a zucchini will only keep for so long. But nutrient is in the right group, in the right sector. I don't know why it's down 4.5%. There's some buying going on here. It did come down and touch its 50-day moving average. And there's some buying coming into it at this level. We'll see whether I add any more. We do have some new clients that have come on board here in the last few weeks that I don't put them in all my stocks on day one. I wait for the pullback like today in Nutrien. Maybe I'll pick up some for them, for folks that don't own it yet here at our firm, right? Okay, and then the third one here that it just looks like a very nice chart setup. We do own it, and it's in that lithium sector, okay? Sociedad Química y Minerales, SQM, which is headquartered in Chile, which has the largest lithium deposits in the world. This is no small company. This is not like Standard Lithium or Lithium of America. This is a major company. And they're in the fertilizer business, too, and iodine. So, you know, they kind of check all the boxes for being in the right places at the current time. And I really like the chart on that. It's pushing through its resistance today. It's had resistance at about 57. It's hitting 58 today on some pretty good volume. It's up 2%. SQM. $17 billion producer of lithium, fertilizer, iodine, industrial chemicals, and other products sold worldwide. And those are the three that kind of stand out to me today. SQM's they've had two just knock the ball out of the park earnings reports here over the last two quarters. Well, okay. Well, we're out of time for today. I could have went another hour probably. There's so much news. Tomorrow's going to be really a big day for earnings. And then we got the Fed coming up. We've got the European Central Bank probably going to hike rates. And I think our guys will announce a taper. We'll see. And in the meantime, we continue to grow. We're hitting a new all-time high today for assets under management at our firm. If you'd like to talk to us about just a little bit more active than sitting there in a gargantuous Vanguard, ETF global, you probably own 5,000 stocks. Can't you narrow it down a little bit more than that to some of the best stocks now? That's my problem with ETFs. Why not just cherry pick and own the very best stocks in those ETFs and then, buying all of the good ones, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just focus on the good is what we try to do, and we call that best stocks now. If you'd like to talk to us about your portfolio, your plans for the future, some kind of a plan we can put together for you, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And also you can just start with the newsletter. And it's the newsletter that does not feature IBM or AT&T or Philip Morris or any of the old stodgy old companies of yesterday, your Kimberly-Clark, things like that, that are growing by 1% or 2% a year. You know, the diaper stock, that's Kimberly-Clark, the diaper stock. And, Pitney Bowls. You know, you hear a little bit more cutting edge. In fact, we talk about a lot of stocks that are right on the cutting edge of the future. This company that comes up with the dialysis machine for home, you know, that's cutting edge. Anyways, you can call us at 855-611-BEST or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.